in Jerusalem that day. The soldiers tried to clear the narrow street, but the crowd pressed in to see a man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating. There were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head. And he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. Still he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. Por la Via Dolorosa, triste día en Jerusalem, los soldados le abrían paso a Jesús. Mas la gente se acercaba para ver aquella baba, aquella cruz. Por la Via Dolorosa, que es la Via del Dolor, como vuelta vino Cristo Rey Señor. Y fue Él quien quiso vivir por su amor, por ti y por mí. Por la Via Dolorosa acabar yo ya morir. The blood that was shed, souls of all men, made its way to the heart of Jerusalem. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the way of suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. But he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to
Glory to God.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Father.
This is the Father's house.
It is.
This is not the hog pen. There is glory in the house, peace in the house, joy in the house, healing in the house, salvation in the house, prosperity in the house. Everything you need is in the house.
Everything
you want is in the house.
Everything.
It's not in the house you don't need it. It's not in the house you don't want it. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness to us. Thank you, God, for this assembly here this morning. We thank you, God, for this wonderful spirit in this place in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God, for your goodness to us and what you've done for us in the name of Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. We pray this morning that you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your word. Give us a spirit of wisdom and not of fear, and give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority of the believer. In Jesus' name, praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Well, all right. Praise the Lord. Well, I think I was ready to start on chapter 27 of the book of Acts. This is not my favorite part of the book. Especially chapter 27.
Do you want to skip it, honey?
Well, I better not skip it. There's good stuff in here.
Yes, there is.
But we'll try to get through some of these horrendous names. Terrible places. We'll just muddle through some of these names here. And when it was determined that we should sail for Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus's band. Entering into a ship of whatever that is, we launched, meaning to sail by the coasts of Asia, one Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And the next day we touched at Sidon, and Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing unto Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against whatever that place is, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against whatever that place is. And hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lasea. And when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phinis, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest.
You know, Brother Money, it might be worth pointing out, you know, really enjoy this chapter anyway, but it might be willing to point out, if Paul can give a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom,
yeah,
and have it ignored,
that's true.
I guess we can too, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And we ought to go ahead and give it, even if we're ignored.
Even if they don't believe it, that's true. That's a good point. Absolutely.
What got me up here, though, you know, they let him, he's a prisoner, okay? And they let him take off to refresh with his friends, to visit with his friends and stuff.
Yep.
You know, that's showing favor with God and man, right?
Yep, there. That's true. That is true.
All kinds of little tidbits in here.
Of course, we need to remember these are Romans now. These are not Jews.
Exactly. They weren't trying to kill.
No, these guys were not trying to kill him. So that's true. All right. The Jews would have been trying to throw him overboard, I reckon. But anyhow, let's see. Where were we at? Okay, here we are. 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called whatever that is. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. Which when they had taken up, they used helps. But one of the reasons I don't much care for this chapter is because I don't understand what they're talking about most of the time. I mean, all of this stuff is sort of technical.
Sailing
stuff.
Yeah, sailing jargon that means nothing to me. I don't know what this is, and I don't know what they're doing.
That's a hard way to ride in a boat, too, is the way they were doing it and stuff, you know, because you have to set the masses up, the sails up, bring them down, and, I mean, you have to do all kinds of stuff.
You know, I don't, and another thing, you know, I've never understood the concept of a sailing ship. I don't understand how that works. To me, it looks like you can only sail one direction. Whichever way the wind is blowing, you got to sail that way, but somehow or other, they seem to be able to figure out how to maneuver around.
Well, don't they use oars too? They have oarmen in there.
No.
The bottom of the hull?
No, ma'am.
They don't? All them movies I've seen, they have the bottom,
they have
slaves.
It's rowed.
Those are
warships.
Yeah.
They were like 1,000 years ago warships. They were not, you know, the last thousand.
So I don't understand how all of this stuff. This is technical stuff that I cannot explain at all what's going on here.
And here's the thing, too. These ships that Paul was on were not little miniature boats. You
know, no, it was not.
They try to portray in movies. These were massive boats. Yeah. As big as we got today are warships.
Yeah, exactly. So why wouldn't they have oarmen? So why wouldn't they have oarmen if they needed them to row?
They used the sails and the masses and everything. See, when the wind's blowing one way, it blows it in. And then if the wind changes, it'll blow it back this way.
So they just sit there for a while.
They can maneuver it and do all kinds of things.
If it's not blowing, they just sit there.
Yeah, if it ain't blowing, that's exactly what they do.
If it's the wrong way, they sit there.
Well, what it is...
I've seen how they do it. My family taught me
a little bit about sailing.
It's pretty wild.
It turns out, it's kind of the physics of the thing. You know, a sail is a sheet. It's not just a hard piece of wood.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a sheet, all right? And so the wind blows, for example, if you want to go this way, all right, and the wind is blowing this way.
Yeah.
How do you go that way?
Yeah.
It's blowing you this way.
Yeah, that's
right?
What I'd like to know.
So you take your sail and you turn it like this. The wind hits it like
that's
this and pushes you this way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right? So you can actually get some forward motion. Not much, but you can get some forward motion if the wind's coming at you, okay? Because of the way, if the wind goes off this way, it'll push you that away.
Yeah.
So what you have to do is tack. You tack this away, and then you go back and tack this away. And then you go back, you flip the sail around.
So you kind of zigzag back and forth? Is that what you do?
You have to go in a zigzag motion to go anywhere if the wind's in that long. Okay?
Yeah.
Now the problem is, let's say that, you know, you're wanting to go, we'll say you want to go in this direction, but the wind is coming like this, really strong. Okay? So you try to set your sail to do that, right? But the wind's strong enough, it'll blow your ship over.
Yeah.
So that's why the sailors, when they get into a storm, they drop all the sails.
Right? Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, there is one other thing. If you're in a storm and you're trying to get out of the storm, if the wind's going this way, you want to get out of the storm, you raise your sails and just go with the wind. And they talk about that later on. Okay? But what has happened here was they had to drop all the sails or blow them over.
Wow. Yeah.
A strong enough wind would just, you know, bring you over to let the wind, you know, the waves get in and you just get swamped, you know. So there's a lot to that.
Yeah.
You're right. Wow. I don't understand it all either.
I don't either, but I've seen a few things, you know, but man, it's incredible really how they did that.
Yeah, it is.
How they still do it. You know?
Yeah, it is.
But this was all they had at that time.
Yeah.
So they were masters at it.
If the wind's against you, it's really hard to make any headway, you know, because...
Well, I wonder, so you really have to just kind of zigzag back and forth.
Yeah, you have to zigzag.
That's wild. Yeah.
Because you can't ever go right straight into the wind, right? So you have to kind of go sideways and then...
Well, the beauty of that is that if you want to stop, if you need to stop, face the boat straight into the wind, and then you'll stop.
Yeah.
And you also have currents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's, yeah, that's it.
Unless there's a, yeah, the current thing goes.
I don't know much about them either, but I...
Well, that's interesting. All right.
What are all these, let me ask you, maybe they know, what are all these multiple sales for? You know, like, there's not just one sale a lot of times. There are many sales. Do they serve different purposes, like in making, you maybe hit one sale this way and it bounces off, I just don't know, off that sale and does... Because they turn differently sometimes, it seems.
Well, yeah, some of them...
You want to catch as much of the wind as you can.
So the more sales, just the more wind you get.
Yeah, you know, I don't know all the thing, but what I was talking to you about is where you have like one sail, and you turn it this way, you know.
Yeah.
You see that boat with just one triangular sail, and you turn it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you get to these big boats where you got multiple sails, like the Nina and the Pinta and the Santa Maria,
mm-hmm.
I don't know how that works.
Yeah,
it works.
Behind me.
Somehow or other.
They know how it works. Big time. You know, it's not something.
It was some. Apparently, there was an art to it. Apparently, so.
But these people, you know, man, were trained, you know, from little boys up, you know, like 8, 9 years old, they'd be dock hands and stuff, cabin mm-hmm. boys and stuff, you know. But these guys were masters when they got older. Yeah.
About all I know about sailing is from watching Moby Dick. That's about all. That's the extent of my sailing knowledge.
And I'm not afraid, but I'd never forget the sailboat and sail in the ocean.
I agree with you.
Now that's really getting down.
That's not something I want to do. There's no desire.
It looks like they're going to tip over. Sometimes you'll see them.
That's true.
My brother and I pack a load.
All right. Let's move on. Let's get a few more verses here.
What verse are you up?
Verse 17. Which when they had taken up, they used helps. That may be some of your oarmen, maybe. Maybe they drug out some oars and started rowing, I don't know. Undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. So apparently that sounds to me like they took their sails down.
They did. They different translation. It said, there were some places along the coast of Libya where the water was not very deep. The ship might sail onto one of these places, and then it might break the sand. So they took the ship's sails down, and they let the wind blow the ship along.
All right. There we go. And so were driven without the sail. All right.
Wow.
And we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island, but when the 14th night was come, and as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded, and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little farther, they sounded again, and found it 15 fathoms, which obviously means they're getting closer to land. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast 4 anchors out of the stern, and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off.
Wow.
So what you got here, you got a situation where basically you got the genesis of a Marine Corps here. You got sailors, you got the Navy, and then you got soldiers on board, which is your Marines. So basically, you got a Navy and the Marines here operating, and the Navy were saying, well, let's leave the ship, and the Marines said, no, you're not leaving the ship. So I don't know, but anyway.
It's interesting. They didn't listen to Paul before.
That's right.
He came up and said, I told you so.
This is true.
And now they're listening to it.
Now, at least the Marines are listening to it.
Yeah.
The soldiers are listening to it.
Yeah.
That's right. And they're the guys that count.
Yeah,
buddy. And if Paul wasn't on the boat, would they
have died? No, they'd have probably all died.
Yeah.
They'd have probably all died except for Paul. That's right. Absolutely.
Preach that now.
Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Why in the world were they fasting in the middle of a hurricane? And why for 14 days? 14 days these people were fasting in the middle of a hurricane. What in the world is going on?
I just figured they're saving their food for later.
I don't understand any of this. I do not understand. We're not told why they were fasting. We don't know what the occasion for that was.
They hadn't had time to do it. It was dark.
But anyhow, Paul said...
I can only surmise, you know, from Jonah, you know, when they... Sailors are very, quote, superstitious, you know, if you want to say it, they're religious, you know.
Exactly.
And you know, when Jonah was, they were in the storm with Jonah, and they were praying and saying, who is it among us that's causing this great storm?
And casting lots.
And the fast may have been due to the fasting and trying to appease the gods.
Exactly.
That sent the storm.
That's what I always thought, too.
So
they believed in gods now.
See, now, in verse 9, it mentions the fast in verse 9. It says, now when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, I don't know what that's...
That's a different fast. That's a Jewish fast.
Is that the different... Is that a different fast?
Yeah. I think that's the Jewish fast. Isn't it when they're... Something along that time of year.
I don't know.
He was referring to a Jewish fast or some other
religious
fast, you know, that they undergo yearly or something.
That's possible.
So it's a way of marking time, I think.
14 days, it says they had taken nothing. It means this is not a Daniel fast.
Right. No,
I mean, this is a hard fast. This is a Moses fast.
Yeah.
They didn't eat or drink for 14 days. These people were about to fall out. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand any of that. But anyhow, Paul said, it's time for you fellas to eat.
Amen.
And
that's a lot of energy there, Gordon, too, to keep that boat.
That's right.
I mean, a boat.
That's absolutely right. Sailing is hard work. Doing you're talking about with those sails, that's hard work, man.
Imagine having 10 or 15 sails.
I can't even imagine what that would have been like. This is a rough chapter. All right, praise the Lord. That's all I'm going to do with that today.
Okay.
They were heavy. It was the worst of the pagan gods. Heavy.
I appreciate that, Brother Wilson. Yes, I appreciate your insight on that sailing.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
This is very little. I hope everyone knows.